The Roaring Peacock Podcast.
Welcome back to the Roaring Peacock Podcast, where we talk about Leeds United. If you would like to smash the like button and the subscribe button and let us know you're here down in the comments, say hello. We always love to see your comments. Leeds United, greatest team in the world. 3, Nottingham Forest, just a sort of pale imitation of Derby County. 1. What a game under the lights. That's now 19 wins and 3 draws under Daniel Farke under the lights of Elland Road. Just an unbelievable. It's played 5-1-5 in games later than 7:30 p.m. this season. It's just, can we get Sky to just schedule every game?
Don't tell Sky. They'll change it all. We'll never play under the lights ever again. They fucking hate us. They want us back in the Championship.
Joining us to discuss this game is the one and only Pied Piper of the Peacock, Barney LUFC 21.
Aye, aye, aye.
Barney. And Machiavelli himself, the Prince of Darkness, Ewan Metcalf, Big Mac, Macca.
Now then, how are we doing?
Very good, thanks, mate. I'm just trying to cram as many of your nicknames in as possible. Without needing to take a breath, well, without passing out. So, Leeds 3, Forest 1. Barney, first thoughts?
If I'm honest, that's probably the best 45 minutes of football I've seen Leeds play in a long time. I thought we were dominant. We were...
Which one? Which?
The first 45 minutes.
The first, okay.
I thought we were dominant. I thought Forest just couldn't handle us. We were just brilliant all over. It was just a really, really enjoyable 45 minutes where it's like probably a high pressure point game and we just managed to do it. And I said on Thursday, these are the sort of games that Farke loves and he thrives in these games. And yet again, he's done it for us. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
Macca, first thoughts?
Yeah, we talked on Thursday, didn't we, about Farke, you know, when he came with Norwich. It was a big game. Bielsa, you know, everybody was lauding Bielsa and he outclassed him, didn't he? And he's sort of doing that for Leeds now. I mean, certainly that stat that you rolled out there is just remarkable. You know, to not lose in 19 games, win, was it 15, 16, draw 3? Just remarkable. I mean, like you said, it would just be great to play under the lights. And with the crowd at it, you know, I've always said to you, I don't like Friday nights necessarily. I'm not a big fan of Sunday afternoons. You watch the sort of Palace Brighton today, even the sort of Liverpool Man City game. You know, it's a bit flat, you know, that unless the game sparks it, the crowd's just not the same as a night game or a 3 o'clock on a Saturday. So Sky's got a lot to answer for. Game wise, I thought we were fantastic. I mean, you look at what we've done at Elland Road this year, odd exception. You know, Everton came out of the blocks really quick. You know, Palace, you know, last Friday night. That's how we have to play there. I don't think we've got the reward sometimes when we've played like that. You know, when you sort of go at it for half an hour, foot hammer on, you know, and you don't get a goal or two, then, you know, you've kind of got to change a little bit, haven't you? But when it goes in and they've got that momentum, it's so hard to stop them when the crowd get behind the team like Palace, very similar to Palace, I thought. There was just no way they were going to get back into the game. So I just thought it was a fantastic performance. I mean, going to come on to man of the match, but every player just turned up. I thought we were fantastic right across the pitch. Well-deserved win. In we talked about this, you know, I'd settle for Arsenal getting beat if we go and get 3 points against Forest, and they've done that. And I think Farke, they deserve some credit how he played it this the week leading up to the game. You know, took all the pressure off. We spoke about it, and the lads performed, and they were fantastic. Deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was just the reaction of the players, like losing sort of 4-0. You know, you could sort of put it aside and forget about it. And that's what he talked about trying to do, sort of forget about it, move on quickly. Okay. But you still have to react. You still have to pick your heads up. I go back to that. You know, it was the anniversary of the sacking of Jesse Marsh, and I think back to that team with Weston McKennie, Mark Rocker, Rasmus Christensen. You had a team of players whose heads would drop, And they were getting battered week in, week out, and they didn't recover from it. And we talked about Ilan Melier, you know, maybe not recovering his confidence from getting battered every single week. But look at this team. What a difference. And I think that a lot of that is down to Daniel Farke. He's this type of manager who puts an arm around you and picks you back up and gives you confidence and helps you react. Yeah, right, definitely. A few of your comments then. Nora is here. She says, yes, please, every game at night. Delboy85 says, evening, gents. Evening, Delboy. Nora says, hello, guys. Good to see you. And Jane says, hello. Yeah, sorry, my prediction wasn't wholly accurate, but what about Gruev, who I've long been a fan of? Yeah, so that's my mum. And she got Gruev on the back of her shirt. And then we went to the playoff semi-final against Norwich, and he scored that free kick from miles out, and everyone thought he was going to cross it, and she was the most excited person in the ground, let me tell you. Colin Brooks says, evening, gents. And Del Boy says, Ellen Road really is a fortress under the lights.
Fueled by ale. I'm gonna call it now. I do think as well, both Gruev's shots were supposed to be crosses or the other way around. So I thought his shot on Friday night, and Calvert-Lewin obviously chests it in, and I thought that was a pass against Norwich, and it went in. So I'm only joking. I just like to, yeah. I've never been a huge fan, but he was outstanding on Friday. Really good.
Well, he's one of the stories of the game then, mm-hmm. Ilya Gruev, and I think 98% pass accuracy. And he's one of only three players to have two assists, 98% pass accuracy in a game, and two assists since Opta's records began in 2003-2004 for that sort of stuff. Right. Barney, have you been a big fan of Gruev?
I like him. I know he's just a solid 7 out of 10 all the time. He doesn't do anything flash, but he's not there to do anything flash. He's just there to tidy up and pass the ball to the creative players that we've got in the team. I think he reads the game really well. I think his pressing is underrated as well. He's probably the best presser in the team, that he presses all the time, and he's the one who leads the press a lot of the time. And I think he was just instrumental in midfield, that midfield battle that we're going to have. And I think the fact that a lot of fans were, when he was going to start the game, a lot of fans were like, fucking hell, he's starting again. But quite
a bit. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I mean you could talk about it, Macca, that chipped long ball to Bogle. It was like a golf shot.
Yeah, left footer. I mean, always said left footers are always quality. I was left footed. And he just the way he plays that pass, and what's Bogle doing there? The run's fantastic, he times it well, but you know, you've got to pick it out, and it's got to have the right spin on it and everything, you know, like you said, like a golf shot. Absolutely perfectly wedged into the box for Bogle to run. First time finish, looked fantastic. He's crossed for the second goal. You know, he just took his time, composed. Barney said it. He's running, his energy outruns people in there. His press is, you know, if you didn't have him in there, it would be missed. You know, there's nobody else does that press like he does. You sometimes see him coming out of the kind of block to go and press somebody 30, 40 feet. And then he's back again defending, you know, the very next play. You know, he's got loads of energy, and you can't not like him. He seems like a really good guy, really down to earth, humble. And he's, I think, like you just said before, you know, the Jesse Marsh kind of collection of wastrels and fucking terrible footballers. And then you've got a team now. So it doesn't matter who we said, whoever drops in, whoever comes in, whoever, you know, somebody comes out and then comes back in. Just everybody seems to perform. And Justin, again, will come on to outstanding. It was probably that, you know, you sort of look at the games he's had since he's come in, and he's never moaned, he's never sulked, he's hardly played. He gets his chance, and he's probably been man at match in two or three of the games. You know, got an assist the other night again, was outstanding at the back. I mean, you know, and just him and Bogle's link up, they really got a good understanding together down that right hand side, and it made a huge difference. It was responsible for the second goal. I love the team again. You know, you've got a team you can really really get behind. You know, we've had a few of them recently, haven't we? But as a collective, fantastic. Grev was outstanding on Friday. Proper midfield performance.
Yeah, Bogle was saying that that he's been practicing those sort of diagonal runs in behind. So that it's clearly something that they've been working on it, and it was worked to perfection then. All right, we've talked about Gruev, we've talked about Under the Lights. I wanted to mention Carl Darlow as well, because, you know, it was sort of alarm bells were ringing after Arsenal. There was, you know, a few hours left of the transfer window, and we were thinking maybe you just bring in an unprecedented fifth goalkeeper. But what a reaction again, a couple of really great saves in that first half.
Yeah. The save at 0-0, outstanding, and, you know, really quick, doesn't see it, gets a really good hand to it. I thought he was pretty composed all night. He took the pressure off when he needed to. His distribution's a lot better than what we've got. And it's odd because, you know, I sort of spoke about, you know, when Perry's giving you the nightmares and putting the willies up you, you look at Ortega from Man City, who I spoke about. Well, he was in there the other day and he didn't look, you know, like anywhere near as good. It's amazing how good he looked for Man City when he had like two things to do all game. Well, no, he played a bit in the cups, didn't he? And I thought he looked really good. But
yeah.
I think...
amazing how good he is on the bench.
Yeah, he's great. He looks great when he's sat down on the bench. He looks very composed, clean sheets all the time. But no, I think the thing with I wouldn't trust anybody at least to bring another goal in, because I think we've probably got three or certainly two of the worst in the league, you know, for the money. Darlow, you know, I feel a bit sorry for him really, because we sort of use him when it all else fails. You know, he kind of gets roped in and he does a great job, and then sort of Perry comes in, he gets dropped again, he's sort of second choice, and then Perry doesn't turn out to be the player we thought he was going to be, so he's back in again, and again he just don't, it's like we've just said, it reiterates what I've just said about the character of the squad. You know, it's not just 11 players, it's the whole squad. He comes in, does a great job. I don't think there's much point in swapping him out now, because I think he's probably the most reliable and consistent we've got.
Yeah, and you talked about him having, you know, one or two howlers a game.
Yeah, but he didn't. No, he didn't. He gets away with them most of the time as well. So he might just be a lucky keeper. You said about Paul Robinson, somebody'd shoot from 35 yards and it'd go right in the top corner. He was just an unlucky goalie when he was at Leeds sometimes. So you get keepers who have just got that little bit of luck on their side, and he certainly got that, Darlow, I think. But yeah.
Yep, five saves, 8.1. Score on SofaScore. A few more of your comments then before we move on to Dan James. I want to talk about how important it is for him to come back. Late Under the Lights, Delboy says, I always give him shit for playing backwards, but the way he picked out that pass was superb. That's Gruev. Delboy also says, were you guys surprised Buonanotte wasn't on the team sheet?
Yeah, a bit of a strange one where he said it's something to do with tactical, but Farker's done this before anyway, where he's like sort of not put players in straight into the squad at certain points. And I think he's one of those coaches, if you're not going to do very well in training, you're not automatically going to get in the squad. So maybe it's something like that, who knows, or it could be just something tactical. But I mean, he's probably one of the most creative players we've got in the squad, and not put him in the squad against a game that we should have won, who knows? But it'll be interesting to see what happens on on Tuesday, see if he's in the squad. Can he play? He'll be able to play against Chelsea, won't he?
I would have thought so.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Delboy, I'm not particularly surprised, because clearly there's something wrong with him. Otherwise he would have played more. Otherwise he would have played more at Brighton. He would have played more at Chelsea. This maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's something like tactical. But I think tactical is a code word for his attitude is poor, like Barney said, in training. I mean, you saw what happened to Jed Spence, who was just left out of the team really. And you know, there's always a way back. Under Farker, you saw it with Nonto. Nonto was sent to go train by himself because he had a sort of mental spasm and decided that he wanted to go play for Everton for some random reason. Don't know why. And he knuckled down in training and he worked really hard and he he found himself back in the squad again. So there's a way back for Buonanotte. There wasn't for Spence, even though he's been touted. He's played for England now. So, I'm not particularly surprised. Paul Homeboy. Bloody hell, don't see you for ages, and now you're never off the screen. Good to see you. Good to see you too, Paul. And Nora on that theme says, you wait for one bus. Indeed. Right, Dan James, how important is it that we got Dan James back?
Massive.
Fans.
Yeah, I think it's massive. I think it adds another dimension to the squad that we've maybe needed a little bit at times in games. I think when he came on, and that's the sort of play he wants to come on and get games like that. Because, I mean, if you're a Notts Forest defender and you're probably knackered anyway, and then you've got that running towards you as well towards the end of the game. And I also think in the new system, I think he'll do really well in that 3-5-2 system. I think he'll do with his pace as well. I still wonder if he is Premier League quality. I still think that there's a few doubts there still, but I think he's adds dimension to the squad that we've needed, definitely.
When he comes on, I always sort of exclaim, wow, a winger, because he just knocks the ball into space and runs at it and then does something with it, cross or shot.
Yeah, he's an impact player, and I think, you know, the thing we've probably lacked, that's why we're not further up the table, is, you know, when we've been on top, we've not scored or we've not had somebody who's assisted an opportunity. And I think the thing about James is there is a question mark about his ability at this level, but I think that, you know, what we've seen of him in a Leeds shirt is he makes the impact. You know, he does get assists, he does score goals, you know, important goals as well, goals in big games where it's needed, you know, performances when it's needed. So it's absolutely brilliant getting him back, because it's like, you know, sure the board will thank me later, but, you know, it's the old cliche, it's like having a new player all of a sudden, isn't it? You know, with the last sort of 12, 13 games of the season. So, yeah, great. And Barney's right, in that system where you've got fullbacks pushing on and he's got a bit more option, he's not isolated out there, he's definitely going to prosper from that.
Indeed. Ref watch. Anybody got anything to say about the ref?
You know, they always say a good ref, you don't notice them, do you? They kind of they manage the game and direct it without you really noticing much about them. You know, quietly get on with the job. I'll tell you how bad the ref was. I must have called him a paedophile about 40 times, and it's not a word that I use lightly. It's not a word that I use lightly. He just looks like
fairly lightly.
Well,
it's definitely one of your top 20 favourite words.
I don't know. He just wound me up because he just looks like a wrong'un, and he looks like one of them. I don't know, he just looks like a wrong one. If it did come out, it was another coup, it wouldn't surprise me, put it like that. And yeah, I was giving him loads, and I think, I don't know what for, though. I can't remember. I mean, I'd had a few drinks, to be fair. I can't remember why, but I abused him a lot, so it can't be good.
The previous comments reflect Ewan Metcalf's opinion, not the opinion of the
amazing
Roaring Peacock.
How many disclaimers are you going to make? You're going to disassociate myself with everything that Metcalf says. gets far away as you can from it all.
I must admit, when Gruev went down with a head injury and he didn't stop the play,
God. Yes,
I nearly ran onto the pitch and throttled him myself. I mean, that is the one thing that you know, that they are charged with, you know, the safety of players, aren't they?
and
we have seen players, you know, get brain damage, brain injuries, and in those situations, every second is vital. Now, obviously, Gruev was all right. It looked like he broke his nose or something like that. I mean, he had claret streaming out of his nostrils, but that's what it's there for. And, you know, when they've got the ball in their own half near their own goal, you can stop the play. You know, you don't allow a counter-attack. It was just such a... There's four of them there on the pitch. Surely they're talking to each other. They've just got to... Let, I literally have to stop talking about him because it'll just infuriate me. But yeah, he wasn't too bad, but that is an unforgivable error for me.
It's always with me the inconsistency, you know, that you've got to manage your game consistently, and he was really inconsistent. I've seen a few like that this week. I mean, if you watch some of the games today, the number of players that go down holding their head or face when they haven't been touched and the ref stops the play instantly. And then that was a clear head injury, and clearly, I think it was a foot to the head, you know, boot to the head, which is really dangerous. Nothing. And lets them go on the counter-attack as a result, with Leeds players appealing for him to stop the game. I mean, yeah, just poor, just weak. And, you know, his muggy little run is he's running off. Yeah, play on. You know, it's like, what are you doing? He's got head injuries laid down in the box, like, you know. Oh, it was bad. And there was a few little bits where I thought he was really weak, and he didn't get a grip of the game. But yeah, he must have done something wrong, because like I said, I was abusing him rotten. But it's regular with me and refs. We're not the best of mates. Me and authority figures don't tend to get on.
No. Dav said, was the... what was the ref's name? but it wasn't Jeffrey Epstein, as Dav said, has suggested.
I'll tell you what, the algorithm on this YouTube channel now is going to be...
It was Peter Banks.
Peter we might get more views.
Brilliant. Adele Boy, a few of your comments before we move on to Magic Moments. See, Melia was up to his old tricks again for the under-21s, who have lost 3-0 away at Man City, I see. The under-21s.
It was poor for every goal as well. He sort of saw the highlights, and he's got his big... Have you seen his big bushy head now? He's grown his hair out, and he looks all right, tosser. I saw him, he was on some video buying some really shit clothes from somewhere. I can't think where it won out.
It's an old Leeds shirt, like, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was some... Oh, I'll tell you where he was. He was in Perry Best's best shop in Leeds, and he had some flares on, and he's buying some vintage Carhartt stuff, probably, that's really expensive and looks shit. And he had big floppy hair, and I thought, oh, he's getting even... He looks like an even worse goalkeeper.
Brilliant. Magic moment, Barnes.
If that's possible.
Magic moments?
We do this every week, there's loads.
I think for me, just Gruev, just like, all the groaning before the game, fucking Gruev starting, and look what I did. Just magic moment where everyone's saying that he always passes backwards. The one of the first things he does pass forward, and it's for an assist. So, yeah, magic moment, Gruev, for me.
Beautiful. Maka?
I've got Calvert-Lewin's goal. Just improvise. It's one of them that makes you coo to yourself when he does it, because it's like not...
Ooh.
It's not... Yeah, cool. It's not one of those where he heads it in violently. Duff from above.
Yeah.
Just ooh, like...
It was just glorious, you know, like the way he improvised through the keeper completely the wrong way. Just fantastic. And it just like... It makes you make those involuntary noises when we score a goal like that. I thought the other one, just quickly, crowd-wise, I thought the crowd were brilliant, was when was it Calvert-Lewin headed against the post and
crossbar? Yeah,
Leeds fans kind of crossbar. Leeds fans started cheering, and then Forest fans were winding him up, going, "Hey, hey!" And then every goal that went in after that, Leeds fans were like, "Hey, hey!" when they were watching the replay on the telly, you know, on the big screen. Hey! I thought that was quite good. Yeah,
that
good
was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. For me, magic moment was then. Well, I can pick the second goal now. So we've had basically the first, and then the third. So yeah, it's just Okafor. I think, you know, when you score two goals in quick succession in the you know, near the sort of the start of the first, or the middle of the first half, it's such a vibe. It is such a vibe. You just think, yeah, we've got this, especially in a night game. And how much Okafor? Look, you can tell, you know, I think that was probably his best game.
Definitely, yeah.
We'll get on to man of the match in a second, but he's a strong candidate, really. That was his, you know, and you can tell how passionate he was. I mean, he's tried to murder the corner flag, and there's a great photo with Sebastian Bornau holding him back, and Joe Lynch sort of tweeted it saying, you know, he's not worth leave it, no, he's not worth it. Because he's got flames in his eyes. I mean, he was well up for it last
night. How do you do that though? Because you know, I've seen games where there's no point in being on the pitch. He looks lethargic. He doesn't. You know, so you've got to find a way that you get that Okafor out on the pitch, because you know he's different. He is a really good player when he's on it, and he's combative and he's quick and he makes decisions quickly, and you know he's strong running with the ball. He's aggressive, quick. You know, he's got that sort of thing that we haven't got anywhere else on the pitch. But just I hate watching him when he's at, you know, everything bounces off him, cat trap at bag of cement. You know, he doesn't really run with the ball, looks to take the easy option all the time, just doesn't look interested. So I think getting a switched on Okafor's another, it's going to be another, you've seen it with Aronson and many players that he's made better. Getting him to be consistently at it would be a big coup for him as well and for Leeds.
Right, just about time for man of the match, and then we'll do a quick prediction for Tuesday night, and Mackie, you can talk about it because you're off. So, man of the match then, Barnes.
Grewev, obviously.
Yep. Any elaboration or?
I've already watched Makeup for Medical about Rax Ridicule.
Laxed Miracle. definitely.
About Grewev anyway, so yeah.
You definitely one of them.
Rax Rickle.
Rax Rickle.
Rax Rickle.
Sound like the guy who works in my Chinese takeaway, Barney, then. He watched Miracle about it. Got chips at love. Oh, dear. Going to get shut down, aren't we?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Definitely. Maka, man of the match.
He hadn't done one of them for ages, though, one of his spoonerisms or whatever they are. Rax Miracle. Man at match. I'm gonna go Justin. I think he plays really well. Listen, it's really hard because I think there was I think you could make an argument for everybody, but possibly Pascal. I don't want to dig him out too much, but I thought he was poor. But you know, Goodmanson's energy, you know, Bogle was great. You know, all over the pitch performances, left, right, and centre. But wow, I think Justin's class. I mean, the link up play with Bogle. The way he sort of took the shot, which he was unlucky with for the second goal, and then was composed enough to just pick Okafor out, great. And I just think the way that he's been introduced to the team, you think about him as a young player, he was touted as being an England regular. Injuries have completely done for him. That, you know, you could go one or two ways with that. And he's just pushing to be the best he can be, the best version of himself he can be. And I just think he's solid. And, you know, you could play him at right back, left back, you know, centre half. Everywhere he's gone, he's done a job. And I think that's what we need. You know, utility player, we've said it for years that, you know, we don't feel like we're. I just think he was cracking. He's been cracking every game he's come on. And I don't think I've ever given him man at match before, but I'm 100% that I'm going to give it to him because I thought he was really good.
Yeah, and I'm going to give it to Noah Okafor for me. I just think that. Yeah, that's what he's capable of when he turns up. And, you know, one of the things that we've been missing is successful take-ons. He had two of three successful dribbles last night. But it was just his energy, his work rate, and a little bit of quality. Okay, he missed that big chance. It's never good when you spoon the ball into row Z from 3 yards. But we'll let him off, you know, because he scored about 10 minutes later. So it was all irrelevant. What he brought was energy on and off the ball. And he brought that sort of aggression and that winning mentality. And that's exactly what we needed after Arsenal. But special mention to Carl Darlow, because what a reaction. I mean, if anybody's head could have dropped, it could have been him conceding four goals. But to sort of come back and, you know, make the saves that he did, those were crucial saves in that first half, because otherwise, if those goals go in, then they gain the momentum and all of a sudden it's a very different game. So well done to Leeds United and Leeds United fans, because we all deserved a man of the match for that game, apart from Strouk and Rodon. Oh dear. Right, Chelsea then. Ewan, talk about Chelsea because you're going there.
Yes. Well, it's an old rival, isn't it? I think for many years we've not couldn't claim to be, you know, in the same division even, but certainly not at the same level football wise or whatever. But certainly from historically, it's always been a big rivalry. I think going down to London, night games in London are pretty decent, you know, good experience. Looking forward to it. So, yeah, I'm down there for work, and there's me, my brothers, a few of us actually going to meet up down there and have a few beers around West London and then head to Stamford Bridge. It's a long time since I've been there. It's a good pre-COVID, a long time, yeah, since I've been to Stamford Bridge. So I'm looking forward to it. Be a good experience. Hopefully we do get something. I think, I mean, they're playing much better under the new manager, Rossini. And I did think it was funny. I don't know if you saw it. You know, when Farker controlled that ball on the touchline?
Yeah.
And the shot when he tried to do it the other day and he got it on his shin and it went about 30 yards up into the stand. they sort of showed the two in comparison. So yeah, hopefully that translates onto the pitch and Farker can do a job on him. But be a tough night, but I'm hoping we can get something, hopefully get a draw.
Yeah. Barney, score prediction?
I seem to think that when we were doing really well that first season with Farker and we played Hull and we seemed to follow a little bit, and that's when Rodon got sent off as well.
Sent off.
Rossini seemed to realise how to play against us. So hoping it's not going to be like that, but I'd be happy with a draw. Well, happy with a draw. And again, it's London though, isn't it? So anything can happen.
Yeah, I think we've only won one game away from home as well. So that's something to work on.
A draw will do. I mean, if we do what we're doing at the minute and, you know, beat some of those teams that are down there, you know, we've got Burnley at home, Wolves at home. We've got plenty of games that we can win. If we can just get to pick up a few draws away, particularly against a team like Chelsea, you know, again, it's a bit like Arsenal, you kind of go there not expecting a great deal, so anything's a bonus. But yeah, if we can keep... I mean, I watched some of the games and I watched a few Premier League games. I've got to say, the standard's poor. I mean, we should be... I think we're in a false position and that's not being greedy. And I've said it before, we should be 6, 7, 8 points better off than we are, and that's not being, you know, deluded about it. Some poor teams in there. I mean, now we've lost to Burnley and, you know, I mean, Brighton and Palace was just it was like a championship game, that. So, yeah.
Well, we're 10th in the XG table. So we're 6 points lower. But a few of your predictions then, and then we will wrap it up in rapid time. We're almost on time. Barney, you're going to be replaced. You're losing. You're in danger of losing your happy clapper status here. Jane says we're doing the double over Chelsea 2-1.
I'll take that.
Nora says we will win against Chelsea. But she also talks about your abuse of Ilan Melier's hair, Macca.
Oh, really?
Thinks it might be a case of hair envy.
Definitely not. If that's what you do with it when you've got it, I'm okay with not having any, thanks. Not you, Nora. I mean, Melia. Before she falls out with me.
And Del Boy's man of match was Gruev 100%. And I've got to be careful reading what Dav said. Sends in after the Epstein thing. Although, are we sure he killed himself? I don't know. Dav said, centre forward, Bogle, Firpo-esque. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Firpo did nip in there a lot
total,
of times.
Total football. Football.
That's it. So to the 207 people who've tuned in on a Sunday afternoon.
Cheers,
on
man.
Twitter. Lovely to see you in the 14 or so everywhere else. Go and watch our match day vlog. We had loads of fun making it. We'll try and do another one soon. And we'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday. Hope I get back from London in one piece. You never know. I was just about to say Newcastle are down there. Man United are down there. It's going to be fun and games.
So you're meeting up with is it the Headhunters? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, back in the old days. Yeah, I wouldn't meet up with any of them.
No,
I'm having a quiet drink, poncing around West London, and
That's what you God say.
I don't know how I'm getting on
the live stream.
Are you not staying over?
Well, not at the moment. We may do because it's an arse getting back, and we were going to jump on one of the coaches coming back. But you're getting home at 3 in the morning times and stuff. It's like, nah, sod that. I'd rather just get a quick train back, or I might stay and come back Wednesday morning.
Delboy says, cheers, lads. Colin says, great show as ever. And Nora says, cheers, glad boys. To have you back. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Thursday. Come on, Leeds!
Cheers, boys.